Praise the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. Amen. I said revival. Starts with me. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're getting started. My job tonight is basically set the foundation for why we want to learn how to teach Bible studies. Why? Hallelujah. Amen. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Jude chapter. Well, there's only one chapter. Jude 21. Amen. We'll talk about purpose. The reason. Hallelujah. Jude 21, reading through verse 23, says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Amen. There is a way that it should be done. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and the eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. Amen. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Notice here what Jude is trying to tell us. You're having compassion on that one, but you're hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You love the sinner, but you hate the sin. Okay? Matthew 28:19. Hallelujah. We're all familiar with this scripture. Jesus telling his disciples, to go ye therefore, teach all nations. He did not limit them, but he gave them a goal. To go. But when you go, teach. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How many knows that name? It's Jesus. And he wrapped it up telling them to teach them to observe all things. What things? Whatsoever I have commanded you. Teach them. Let them observe that. Amen. Before us, the church, is a monumental task. It's huge. It's large. The responsibility of it is greater than you and I. Before we ever embark on that endeavor, we've got to realize it's greater than us. It always will be. It always shall be. But they asked the old safari hunter one time, how are you going to eat that elephant? I'll eat it same way I eat everything else. One bite at a time. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. God bless you. I want to talk to us tonight very quickly. I'm not going to be very long. About win the loss at any cost. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, it is very easy for us to make excuses for our inabilities. When we look at what we have in life, we're quick sometimes to point out what we don't have. How we can't do this. How we can't do that. You see, I can't teach a Bible study because I can't remember the scriptures, or I can't form the words, or I don't have an outgoing personality, or there's just something in my disposition. I'm just not friendly enough, or I don't have. I can't do this. I'm not that. But you know, what we really need to look at is what he can do through a willing vessel. Amen. The book of John, chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 9, begins to say to us, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up into Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, and in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withering, and maimed. They're waiting for the moving of the water. And at a time, an angel went down a certain season unto the pool and troubled the water, the Bible said. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, and Jesus said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man." Started the waterworks. "When the water's troubled, they put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another gets in there before me and steps down." Jesus asked a yes or no question. Do you want to be made whole or not? And the man instead begins to make some excuses. But Jesus, being Jesus, having compassion, saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately was made whole. He took up his bed and he walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Amen. It was a yes or no question. But he was quick to make an excuse about his inabilities. You know, if I have a magnet, it is only good for my usefulness as long as it's a magnet. The moment it loses its ability to be a magnet, it's just a hunk of metal. It doesn't hold any value to me. It's not worth anything. I can't stick it on the refrigerator. It no longer works good inside of a speaker pastor. It no longer helps my compass point north. It's just a rock. It's just a piece of metal. But as long as it's a magnet and it has that ability to function as it was designed to function, it has value to me. It has worth to me. It has utility and a purpose, and it can be put to use for a task that it was designed for. Amen. My prayer today is, God, let there always be usefulness in my life. Let there always be something inside of me. Maybe I don't always like work like I should work, but let there always be something inside of me that desires to work, that desires to be used by the Master. Amen. And my prayer today is, God, help me be useful in your kingdom. Amen. Luke 14 and chapter 16. The Bible said, "Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make an excuse. And the first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground. Now I'm in real estate. You don't understand. I'm making money now, and I got things that I must need go see and take care of. I'm a real estate tycoon. And I pray, have me excused, because my name is Donald Trump. And others said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If you can plow with 5 yoke of oxen, you are a man. He said, I've got 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to go prove them and make sure I got my money's worth, that these are good oxen and everything. So I pray thee, I'm too busy to party. So I got work over here I need to do. And another said, I've married a wife. Woohoo! And I can't come. And, you know, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with some of these issues that he's bringing up, but the issue is their excuses of why they cannot respond to the Master. So the servant came back and showed the Lord these things, and the master of the house became very angry. Said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Bring me in the people who got issues in their life. Things aren't going their way, but they've got enough money to go out and buy real estate. Things aren't going their way that they can go out and buy 5 yoke of oxen and have a good business going. Things aren't going the way that they maybe planned, that they can go out and find a wife. Maybe they've got issues in their life that they're single. Bring me some people who've got issues in their life. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you command. And yet there is room. And he said, compel them to come in that my house may be full. Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, we know today that the Word of God is our example. It is given to us for instruction. It is given to us for understanding, for revelation. Amen. So it is our example. And just as it was not acceptable for the servant to come back to his master with an empty excuse for why he could not bring anyone to the feast. Pastor, it is not good for us to come back to a good God and tell him the reason why. Now, can I preach tonight? Can I preach to Brother B also? Amen. I've been doing some soul searching. I'm upset because I cannot be fruitful. Hello. Hallelujah. Can somebody hear me preach tonight? I'm disturbed because I can't be fruitful enough to his kingdom. That when I come to service, I'm not bringing people, but I'm bringing excuses for why I can't bring servants. Hallelujah. And so it was not good enough for the servant to come back to the master and say, no one wants to come to your feet. Amen. 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 And so the master told the servant to go back out and try again. Amen. Amen. And once the Bible talked about how that the disciples were out fishing all night. They toiled. They fished. And now these were professional fishermen. They knew how to do it right. And they fished. And they fished. They came back in. The Bible said that Jesus cried out to them, y'all had any fish? They said, no. And he said, well, let me tell you how to do it. The problem is you've been fishing in the wrong spot. You've been fishing where you thought the good fish were. Where those fish that were nice size, and maybe they bring a good amount in the market. Let me tell you where the fish really are that need to be caught. They're on the other side. So let me tell you, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And the Bible said that when they cast their net, that the nets about break, that they could not bring in the catch that was there. I'm here to tell you today that the fish were there the whole time. It's not where they were not casting their net. So Jesus told them where to drop down and find where the fish were. Amen. We are called to be fishers of men. We are called to be the ones to go out and look. We are called to be the ones to go out and bid and compel and bring into his house that his house may be full. Amen. Amen. Jesus told us that they that whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Amen. I want to submit to you today that if we are not finding the results in our own soul-winning practice, I want to ask you, where have you been fishing? Where are you fishing at today? Amen. If you're not seeing the results, amen. If you feel like God's called you to be a fisher of men, amen. Are you seeing the results that you think, amen, the master would be happy with when you come back to his house and you tell him about your exploits, amen, of soul winning? Hallelujah. If we're not getting any results, any response to our witness, and Jesus is still holding us accountable to be fishers of men, then we may need to change our fishing location. Amen. I want to talk to us today about winning the lost at any cost. Amen. When I look upon Lebanon, I see three projects in Lebanon that I don't really see a whole lot of soul winning going into. Amen. I see a jail ministry that really is untapped when you look at the potential that is there for someone to go into, amen, and share the love of God into lives that need a touch in their life. Amen. When I look at, amen, the example, amen, in this city, I really don't see a lot of people doing an evangelical outreach event into the lives and homes, amen, that really can go on. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that these areas are really untapped fishing holes, right, for fishers of men that can go forth weeping, bearing a burden. Amen. Let me tell you a story. Amen. One time we were in the Everglades, and I'm quickly wrapping up and coming to a close. One time we were in the Everglades, and we seen these fishermen come back with these coolers. They were iced down. That's big. Iced down. 35-gallon coolers. They were sticking like a foot out of this end, a foot out of this end, covered over in ice. We'd ask them, where did you catch them at? They said, Bear Lake. Well, if you have ever been to Flamingo, which is down the end of a 45-mile dead-end road at the southern tip of Florida, it's not convenient to get to. So we said, hey, we're fishermen. We want to go to Bear Lake. So we said, sure, fine. How do we get there? They explained it to us. You drive up here, you hike 2 miles into it, no one's there, the fish. They're waiting to be put on the hook. Here we go. Next morning, we got up. We put on our mosquito repellent. You got to wear that if you're down there. Oh, my goodness. And we got our tackle boxes. We got our fishing poles. And we launched out. We drove to the point where they said no vehicles beyond this point. We got out. We put our hats on. We got our lures. We got our gear. We were going for the fish. And so we got out, and we had probably marched about 500 foot down this road. And the mosquitoes eat us alive. With repellent on, long sleeves, long pants. I mean, we came prepared for the mosquitoes, and we had never seen them swarm us like that before. And it got so bad, we said, forget it. It's not worth the cost of getting eat alive by mosquitoes. Donate that much blood. I say that to say this. The fish are there. Somebody's got to be willing to pay the price to get out there and get them and bring them back in. Amen. Amen. Leon Ellis wrote a song many, many years ago. It said, as we look all around us, we see all the fields are white, ripened unto harvest, yet so swiftly comes the night. Christians, we must get busy, for there's so much work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are crying, men are dying, won't you lead them to the cross? Go out and find them. Please help. Help to win them. Win the lost at any cost. Go out and win. Rescue from sin. Day's almost done. Low sinks the sun. Souls are crying. Men are out there dying. Win the lost for any cost. Check your fold, my Christian brother. See that all the children are in. Are there yet some straying, lost in blackened fields of sin? You must go out and reach them. Go quickly without delay. Soon, the trump of God will close the day. Amen. Soul winning requires a burden. Amen. It requires a great burden indeed. But can I tell you, the rewards are many. And this is my last story and I close. In Atlanta, Georgia, is an apostolic mission. Run by Brother Barfield, who, as long as I've known him, has been heading that ministry. And one of the stories that came out of his mission, and his mission was on Auburn Avenue, downtown, one of the roughest parts of Atlanta, Georgia. When I was 16 years old, we used to put in septic tanks. One of the guys that was delivering the gravel from one of the nearby churches that we fellowship, it was explained to me the story of Brother Doug Clack. Now, Brother Clack in his mid-20s was found on the streets of Atlanta. He was homeless. Don't know what his vice was, whether it was alcohol, drugs, or what have you. But he was not somebody you'd look at and say, hey, that would make a saint of God. That would make a soul winner. And he also wouldn't be one that you would look at and say, hey, that looks like a potential millionaire. But because somebody had a burden to reach for him, to look beyond the way they looked, to look beyond the way he smelled, to look beyond his vocabulary, to look beyond his clothes, to look beyond his potential, and see the godly potential that God has called us because he's a soul, and reach for him and love him and bring him and teach him. Today, Brother Clack is worth many, many millions of dollars. His family, I don't know how many kids, he's got several kids. They drive up into the church in a limousine. And they're not proud by anything. He's a very, very, very humble man. He just needs a limo because of the number of children he has. But if you met him, he is the most down-to-earth person you've ever met. Very humble. Very thankful because he remembers where God found him. But I want you to understand today that it is our job as the church to win the loss at any cost. God bless you.
Amen. Y'all were saved by the bell. Amen. Thank you, Brother B. Thank you, Brother Lowry. Amen. For being the Holy Ghost. Amen. Next week, what we'll do is